Hello, welcome to Actually Comics for January 23rd, 2019. I'm Tristan.
And also I am Bob.
And also he is Bob. So yeah, and we're going to talk about comics because that's why we're here. And there's a couple of things that I'm really stoked about.
Yeah, I was thinking about only saying I am Bob, just like Groot style for the entire podcast, but I abandoned those plans.
Wow, that's probably for the best.
It's definitely for the best. Although I could potentially say some very, very emotionally powerful things about some of these comics.
Using only
those three syllables. Words. Well, they're syllables too. Words and syllables at the same time.
I want to talk about this first.
Yeah.
There's a reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer from Boom Comics that has come out with Jordy Belair, which I'm really excited about, and Dan Mora, who is also somebody cool.
He did the Grant Morrison Klaus.
Yeah, that's right. That's why he's cool.
He's done a bunch. He's a guy who can hit deadlines and still make good art.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been very excitedly waiting for this book to since I read about it.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, they've gone back to what makes Buffy really exciting and awesome. It feels very familiar, yet it's all new. It's set in the 21st century, and so all of those tropes that no longer work because of cell phones existing and all these other things had to be reset. And
the net and emails. actually, literally in the middle of or just past the middle of rewatching the entire seven seasons. Of Buffy. So I am fully prepared for... they did some cool stuff. You get some characters a little sooner than you get them in the series. But it's clearly like the likenesses and everything. It's based on the series. But you're just... It's a different... It's a reboot. I think it's first issue. Really fun.
Honestly, like as a project for someone to do, it seems almost impossible. Yeah. Like, when I think about someone having to make a book work as well as this one has to, with characters that you care about as much as this, and starting their journey over again, and just being like, yeah, I know that you love this more than anything else in the world, but hold on, I'm going to tell this story again in a different way.
Yeah.
The idea that could succeed blows my mind, and it succeeds wildly.
It definitely, I mean, the trick with these things, I think, obviously, is like long term, like where they go with it.
Right.
And I think that, but the potential for it to go in really interesting and unpredictable directions, it's not like, to me, like a Star Wars comic where it's like, you know where Luke Skywalker is at X point throughout his entire lifespan now. So any comic you have, like, that features him, you know, you find, and obviously, like, lots of people have found ways to make really cool and great Star Wars comics within that framework. But in this, it's like there's bigger,
you can do
bigger
anything.
Stakes. And Whedon, Joss Whedon is 100% involved. Stakes. Oh, man.
Stakes.
Good. I did not intend to say that.
That's okay.
I kind of wish I had. I would have emphasized the line a little bit heavier.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I dug it. It's cool. I love that the spoiler, the first villain is not the Master.
Yeah, I'm also really happy about that.
Yeah, because the Master is the lamest of the big bads. Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know. Some people might disagree. I actually don't hate the Master, but that kid, remember that weird kid?
Yeah.
I wonder, it's cool because it's like everything is, you know, she's meeting Willow and Xander for the first time. And
it's different
she
circumstances.
Works at a different fast food chain sooner.
yeah,
I don't know. It's cool.
She also doesn't suck right out of the gate, where they kind of like in the TV series, and I mean, I guess in the movie as well, they kind of set her up to kind of be a pain in the ass.
It's like, yeah, she gets
she has a little bit of a hero, like a micro hero's journey in the first four episodes, basically, where she starts out and she's a shallow idiot. And she kind of loses that by episode four, basically, where she's no longer a shallow idiot.
Yeah, yeah, especially with the TV show. I honestly have not seen the film in at least 20 years.
I was alone in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it was me and one of my friends, and we were all by ourselves in the theater.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean, I remember when it came out seeing it, but like, it's like, yeah, and like, who's it? Luke Perry is in it.
And yes. And Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Paul
Rubens is like one of the bad guys.
Has the best death scene ever.
Oh man, my ears just popped.
Perfect.
And as a segue, where should we go next?
Oh man.
Down the
You can talk about this one because I did not read it.
You know, so this is a one shot, The Spider King Frostbite from IDW. It is a continuation of the 4-issue Spider King. So basically, this series is like if you dropped elements of the Iron Giant into the Lord of the Rings, and then also kind of like had just really cool art, people who like Headlopper and things like really stylized, Brandon Graham kind of, I think, just like, you know, indie, like not, it's not trying to be realistic. It's just, there's kind of like science weapons and mythology weapons and a huge cast. And it functions as an art book, but just a nice little story. The villain is incredibly well designed in this, and he's one of these guys that can jump from inhabits skeletons, and so like when it possesses something, it's like its skeleton.
That's really awesome.
Just a beautifully designed book, and I really like it. I think they're Australian.
I feel like this book really got buried by Headlopper.
Headlopper
is great and wonderful and all that, but I feel like this just basically got overlooked because it just got overshadowed.
But it's different from Headlopper in that Headlopper is of a specific time kind of, I mean, it's a fantasy, but this has like weird kind of like mech elements in it as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was just stylistically similar. And I think that was enough that people were like, I'm getting a book like this. I'm going to get the Image one. And then something from IDW is the one that you would ignore.
And I don't, unfortunately. I think I would be it would be a tough choice if you said to me, you know, one or the other. I undoubtedly would pick Headlopper just because I don't, it's not about like one's better than the other or anything. And I think honestly, like it's just that the art styles are similar enough that you kind of can't help but compare them, but they really are different books. And I was psyched to see a new Spider King one shot. It was cool from IDW.
Excellent.
Dug it.
I want to talk about this one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I'm going to be talking about that is stuff that I really enjoyed this week.
Yeah. And this was great too. I also really enjoyed it.
This is a very, so new from Wonder Comics DC, Naomi.
Yeah.
Man, I gave this the most cursory of glances when it first came in, and I was like, oh God, it's more of this like Batgirl kind of like way too up its own ass about being texting and kid stuff and like trying to be like, you know, like 60-year-old white guy writing a kid story that I don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
And then I got into it and it was not that at all.
No, it's actually so really fucking cool.
So fucking wrong. I was so wrong. Yeah. It's so well written. It's so fun. And it also is like, again, it's just further proof of how much Bendis gets Superman, because Superman is a tiny background character in this story.
Yeah.
He's the catalyst for the whole story, but he's only a small bit part in it. Yeah. But the parts that he shows up are so pitch perfect Superman.
Yeah.
That it's just, it's insanity.
Well, it's sort of,
love it.
So essentially Naomi number one, from like, I am at this point, like I'm all in any DC universe stuff that, that Bendis does, and not to knock his creator own stuff in any way. It's just like, it's a different animal. This book is a mystery. So it's a girl in a small town and Superman shows up and she gets curious about this kind of thing that occurred in the town that no one will talk about. And then it kind of, the mystery develops from there. The thing that I was really kind of down on a lot of Bendis's stuff and his style at Marvel. And I wonder if now that he's at DC and he's basically like, no one's telling him what to do. It's like he is really good at that style. And even the things in this book that I would normally have been like, all the word bubbles and like just kind of like,
it starts with talking heads.
But it works and it totally works.
It does.
In no way. It's like, it's not annoying. It's great. You kind of, it works to develop the personalities of the cast. I love some of, it's kind of like a bigger conversation that we don't have time to get into, but like I'm a DC guy and like a lot of the stuff that's going on with like the major DC guys, like your Batman and your hoo-has, are
Batman and the hoo-has.
Batman and the hoo-has. I'm just kind of down on it. I think DC is just, I hate the grim and gritty. It's not like my thing. And so having something like this where it's like in DC continuity, but not even, it's not even like that. It's just like, it's just new. And I just, I don't want to read Batman right now. I want to read Naomi. I want to read Young Justice. I want to read Freedom Fighters. I want to read the stuff that's new and that's being developed by people with voices. And I think it's, that Bendis, oddly enough, I would never have pegged it as being something that I would be as into as I am. But it's like, I'm just like at this point, like, I just want to read his books and a couple others. And I don't like, I just like, I love Tom King, but I just, I don't want to read that Batman. Like,
well, I mean, and that's like, they've been getting this week. DC has gotten no end of trouble. This has been a big, this has been a big controversy week for DC because they released yet another Woman in Refrigerators comic to Walmart.
Oh yeah. I saw that story. God. Yeah. And it's Tom King and it's like, it's cool. Like, he has stories to tell, and like when he does something like Omega Man or Mr. Miracle, and it's like,
sure,
and it's like that, like he, it's not in the same vein, but like, you know, I don't know, like I haven't read that Superman comic where, you know,
and Lois Lane gets killed a million times.
I don't understand what the appeal is of doing a story like that, and whatever story you have to tell, like, just tell it. I just don't want to read it, you know, like, tell it wherever you want.
Editorially,
I just don't read it, you know?
Why would you release that as your child-friendly, like, this is supposed to be your jumping on point for like all ages. It's just insanity.
Did something just get unplugged? No.
Okay.
You'd almost think that they have no really conscious idea of what they're doing, and
this guy sells,
so let's let him do whatever he wants, and no one's really fucking reading it or thinking about it. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I like, there, DC has some really strong books, and we're going to talk about some of them in this podcast.
And
like,
that's the problem, is that ones. The truth of the matter is that that is how it is at DC.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it has to be.
Everyone I've spoken to who works at DC, that's basically the deal, is like, you think that they, you're like, oh my God, I wonder what the overall plan for this was. There must have been like a really,
it changes
some
every
sort of
2 months
deep,
or
brilliant plan, and it's like, nope, no fucking plan.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I feel like. And so
you know who do have a plan?
Who do have a plan?
That would be Donny Cates,
Senor Donny Cates.
This guy, he's got a plan, and it's an awesome plan. And he has released Guardians of the Galaxy number one, the newest
reboot. An independent publisher called Marvel Comics.
Little startup called Marvel. Yeah. Holy crap, this book is fun.
Well, it kind of goes, just to dovetail it into like what we were just talking about, when there is a strong artistic vision, the books are better. This has a strong artistic vision. Donny Cates is obviously doing what he wants to do. No one's telling him, hey, we need a Guardians of the Galaxy comic, and you need to put Captain Marvel's daughter in that comic, because it's editorially, you know, I mean, maybe they are, I don't know. But Guardians was cool. It's almost like an Annihilation comic to me.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like how Annihilation felt. There are some classic, you've got your Star-Lord and your Groot. Groot's going through some stuff.
I love Groot stuff.
Yeah.
Groot's going through a punk rock phase, which is really...
Groot has begun whittling himself.
He's begun whittling Liberty Spikes, which fucking rules.
It is
Groot
cool.
With Liberty Spikes looks awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm totally into that.
Yeah, Groot's going through his teenage years, essentially, in this book. But there's also like all the cosmic characters, like Beta Ray Bill, and you've got your Captain Marvel and your Moon Dragon and your Star Fox and like all these kind of crazy characters.
Right.
And there's a big thing going on, and it has those Avengers Infinity War villains who I don't understand why, like, other than that they were
the
in
Black
Infinity
Order
War.
Yeah,
I don't get them. They're kind of like a MacGuffin to me, but at the same time they're the villains, and
they okay, so I get it, like, they're to a certain extent they're a MacGuffin, but also it's when you have something like Cosmic Ghost Rider and you have all these hyper powered superheroes. When you have all these like Superman plus superheroes out there, you've got a Beta Ray Bill as like one of your low
badass
power characters.
Yeah,
obviously you've got to up the ante considerably, and I think that's
and
kind
they're
of
just super powerful.
The idea is that they're kind of newer, so they don't have any kind of they don't have any baggage where you're like,
that's true.
You don't have like, oh, you know what? Peter Parker beat them up in like an afternoon yeah. in like issue 273 or whatever.
Terrax.
Right, exactly. You know, like it's not one of those.
Oh, wait, no, Fire Lord. That was Fire, the one where Fire Spider-Man Lord. Fought Fire Lord. That was actually a really great comic.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I really enjoyed Guardians number one. I'm psyched with the direction.
One of my favorite things this week.
Yeah, definitely cool. Another strong Marvel book this week we could Woo-hoo. Talk about briefly was kind of a one-shot issue of Avengers number 13, Jason Aaron. And this is the prehistoric version of Iron Fist, who is awesome. And this comic is worth reading just for the names of the kung fu moves in it. But it actually, as a complete one issue storyline, I kind of like that. I liked the last issue of Avengers where it was like, here's the crew. This one is like, here's the prehistoric Avenger that you haven't seen much of, you know, and it gets her origin, I guess. Not really.
It doesn't really. It gives an origin of the Iron Fist, the concept of the Iron Fist, which is super cool. I love what they did with it. Where it's like, how does she discover that you punch a dragon in the face? You know, like, how are you going to know that that's a thing you're supposed to do?
Also, it has a clan of Gorgillas.
Yep. There's a big pile of Gorgillas, which There's is awesome, too.
All right. So instead of spending a bunch of time on Marvel, let's jump to if it's... Oh, wait. No, oh, no, yeah, no. No. Let's do this.
Okay.
This was kind of a surprise.
This was a surprise to me. This is one of those... this is one of those books that...
I expected nothing from this.
Of
book.
Course. Like this is a concept that's been done before, like people trying to do Dickensian things and set them in post-apocalyptic stories. It happens surprisingly a lot. Like these are like, look, it's Sherlock Holmes, but he's in a dystopian future, or look, it's, you know, like who cares? It's a tale of two cities
it's
or whatever.
It's Tarzan, but he's in a dystopian future.
Right.
This
but
is
like,
Oliver
they did
one.
What was the other character from Oliver that just had a comic that was terrible?
Oh, there was. I think it was like Olivia Twist was the name of that comic.
So there was that one, and that's obviously a similar concept. But the other one was the pickpocket. What's his name? The Artful Dodger.
Artful,
and it was just called like Artful or something.
I was going to say Old Curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
The Artful Dodger is young.
But like they keep doing these kind of things. But this Oliver rules.
Yeah, this is number one. It's called Oliver. It's from Image Comic. It's by Gary Whitta with art by Derek Robertson, who you would know from The Boys and
Transmet.
Jesus, man, R.I.P. Transmet. I loved that book. I have to read those again someday. It's a post-apocalyptic Britain where everyone who lives there, it's poison, and everyone who lives there... Well, you know, honestly, it's good. Let's just say it's good, because describe what it's about, you're basically giving away the entire first issue.
Yeah, so essentially, but in a nutshell, he's the first natural-born human in this world, because...
In a poisoned environment
where everyone that has survived was genetically bred to survive in a nuclear apocalypse situation.
Yeah.
Give or take.
And I would say that as much as it is kind of like clearly a take on the Dickens Oliver Twist, it doesn't feel like that.
The references are so slight. There are just little
at
tiny
least
bits.
To start, and I imagine the story will probably like. I mean, I don't know. It can't just follow the book, because then like why would you read it? But at the same time, it just didn't feel like a.
Yeah, I think they're just gonna make little references and just kind of keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it as
there'll
just
be characters
sort of,
that you're like, oh, here's Artful Dodger, here's Fagin, Old Smuggins.
Whoever.
Yeah, Fagin.
Mr. Smuggins.
Old Smuggins. I don't remember any of that. I was in the play as a child.
I remember Old Smuggins being one of my favorite characters.
I really related Old Smuggins the most.
I think he was a bear.
Second.
He was an animatronic bear that sold pizza.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Okay. Should we talk about? Oh, can we? Yeah.
Let's talk about Freedom Fighters. Number two.
I think Freedom Fighters. As much as I'm like fawning over the Bendis stuff, I think Freedom Fighters is my favorite DC book right now. I love this book. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Human Bomb is hands down my favorite new character at DC. Even though it's not really a new character, it's a new version of that character. Freedom Fighters is set on an alternate world where, so as Freedom Fighters always has been, it's Earth X, mm-hmm. and it's the Nazis won, and the Freedom Fighters are fighting the Nazis in a world where the Nazis control everything. This is a very interesting and well thought out new take. They still use the word Ratsy a lot, which is great. But in the first issue, the original Freedom Fighters were all just like executed in a horrible, horrible way by basically it's like Adolf Hitler's kid, Hitler 2. He is actually called Hitler 2, and I love this. But he has an army of basically mercenaries with the powers of Plastic Man.
Yeah.
And they're called the Plastic Man with extra S's that are drawn like lightning bolts. And so then at the end of the first issue, a new team of Freedom Fighters appeared. And also Uncle Sam is missing, and Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, he's like, Uncle Sam's like the big part. But now these guys kind of get to throw down against this huge mechanoid Nazi prick. And man, it's fucking awesome. I love the human bombs, like Doll Lady and Phantom Lady. Phantom Lady is like super, they did cool stuff with her powers. She's like,
yeah,
super badass. There's so a good new Black Condor. It's just really, really, really good. I love it. I love Freedom Fighters. Number 2 is out. It's a 12-issue miniseries, maxi series, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, it ruled.
Fine. Then I'll talk about something from Marvel that I really liked.
I actually really liked it as
well. I loved this X-Men annual. It's all about Cyclops. It's all your Cables and Cyclopses. It's
spoiler. Cyclops.
How did Cyclops get back? I guess almost anything in this is going to be a spoiler for the story, so I won't really...
I mean, yeah, you find out how. You knew he was coming back if you read anything
right.
Online.
He's been back no already in another,
yeah, yeah,
in another
yeah, yeah,
issue.
He was in it. So we're not. It just explains how, and as much as that's ever going to make sense, it makes sense.
I think it was a pretty decent explanation. They definitely had a real out there from the last story arc.
There had been some very weird turns done with the Cyclops character over the last several years of X-Men continuity, and
especially Avengers versus X-Men.
And so they really address that in this, and kind of, it's like, this is the Cyclops that I remember.
Yes.
And I think that is actually almost like too much of a spoiler, maybe. But
either
but
way,
yeah,
it's just great.
It's cool.
It's great.
It's good. It's so, an X-Men annual number, Uncanny X-Men annual number 1. And
all right,
it's about Cyclops.
Great.
Should we talk about Mega Ghost?
Let's talk about Mega Ghost number 2.
I love Mega Ghost.
Me too.
I love it. I love the artist Gideon Kendall on this is like so clearly just like into like Jack Davis,
yeah,
and like awesome Mad Magazine. This is an Albatross funny books.
Yeah, it feels like a Mad Magazine. It feels like Jack Davis. It definitely does. Except In his own style. It's not a rip at all.
It's just like it's influenced by. But this is so this kid finds a magic ring that allows him to combine 3 different ghosts into 1 mega ghost. And it's the story of that. And it's honestly, it's just fucking fun.
This one, the bad rich kid, he gets an evil robot. He gets basically a Shogun Warriors robot of his own as a toy. And it's possessed. What is its name?
Its name is Oh god.
Oh my god. Not Mephistobot.
It's Mechastopheles.
Jesus fucking brilliant.
It's just fun. It's super fun. It's like it's like this guy has this crazy ghost and he's like fighting a dickhead version of Richie Rich that has his own mechanoid Satan.
But they're also like 2 feet high.
Yeah, they are. They're both micro mega ghost. It's micro mega ghost.
It's so fun.
If hearing the name micro mega ghost doesn't make you at least want to read the comic, you know, I don't know.
It's probably not for you.
I think it's great. It's one of my favorite indies at the moment. Super dug it.
Great. Let's talk about Aquaman.
Let's talk about it. I didn't really spend a lot of time with it, but I really like this run.
I do too.
Thus far, and it is just continuing the Kelly's. It's Kelly Sue DeConnick, and it's like back to like taking Aquaman away from all the Justice League bullshit and like just kind of making him his own kind of guy and doing his own kind of thing. And I think that's pretty great.
And taking him away from the ocean too, which is another odd thing.
Yeah, he doesn't even really, I think he doesn't even know he can breathe underwater. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's kind of, yes, it is a nearly literal fish out of water story.
And
but
it's
cool.
The art is really good. I super dig it.
Cool.
Also, all the DC books this week have a preview of the new Wonder Twins comic, and I'm really excited for that too.
Another thing that I was excited for Marvel for, Superior Spider-Man. Man, I love this book.
You can take point on this. I thought it was
okay. I thought this was awesome. So we get Octavius is now obviously a spider person. He has cloned himself with the body from Spider-Verse and all this.
I'm confused.
He has Peter Parker's body after all of that stuff happened.
But didn't he become the Superior Octopus? And so he was like in the cloned body.
Yes.
But then he became but now he's the Superior Spider-Man again?
Now he's trying to be a superhero. He's trying to be a good guy in San Francisco. And he's trying to...
Is this an ongoing series?
Yes, I believe so.
Cool.
And so he's trying to protect the city. So this is kind of his deal now. He's trying to prove himself as a better version of Spider-Man, but it keeps all of the characters that were in that Superior run, which I really loved. Again, I love Octavius because he is the most like the Tick kind of character that exists in Spider-Man. He will do the like really the super dated super villain speeches that you don't get from anybody anymore. And they're just fun and stupid, and he's silly and over the top. And in this, you have him up against a cosmic power where you see basically him being an egomaniac and saying that even though this thing is 10 to 100 times more powerful than me, I'm going to still fight it and I'm still going to win. Because Terrax is basically, you know, he was a herald of Galactus and he has the power cosmic, and he's just like so out of his league. And he beats Octavius to just a pile of goo in many parts of this. But it has some really cool parts, and it's got... it's just, as a character, I love Superior Spider-Man. So
yeah, the art is by Mike Hawthorne, who I really like a lot.
This was a super fun book.
I think he was a Deadpool artist for a time.
Really?
Yeah.
It definitely looks like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about...
Let's talk about Shazam.
Okay. Sure. I did not hate this, but it is not for me.
Yeah, this book has definitely lost me, unfortunately. Yeah. I really enjoyed the first issue.
This is Shazam number two.
Shazam number two. This one has gotten a little... I don't even know what it got. I don't know what the reason is that it lost.
They are busying up the Shazam. Sometimes
it felt way
like,
too complicated.
Sometimes you just need, like, since Flashpoint was when they redid Shazam so that there were like seven different kids with the powers.
Yes.
And I just think it's six too many or four too many, because like I like Captain Marvel and Mary Marvel and Billy
his
name is Freddy. Captain Marvel Jr. But I think even that is just like, and I know, but I mean at the same time, like the Marvel family, or I guess now you can't, the Shazam family, they
Shazamily,
that's good. It's always kind of been that you had the bunny and you had the this and that, but
Tawny Tiger.
Yeah. I love Talkie Tawny. But, part of what was cool about that was like that it existed outside of a thing where like, it just was its own thing. And as part of the DC proper and how they've made him like the champion of magic, but then at the same time, like they've completely separated him from Black Adam, which made no sense to me. I don't know. It's not bad. Like the art's really good.
It definitely
looks like it'll be really fun. I watched the trailers.
Super
fun. It looks great. There's a Shazam comic. It's just like I said. It's really good. It's just not for me.
Yep. Agreed. It's same here.
Also, I can sum up the, if you want to talk about, I don't know, but the Batman.
Batman.
That is also good, but not for me, except for I'm not sure I think it's good. But someone does.
There's a lot of kissing.
Yeah, it's like...
every third panel is like literally the same scene of Batman kissing Catwoman.
Well, it's because he's reliving the... basically, he's been given Scarecrow juice, and so now he's reliving his worst things over and over again, and who cares?
I'm not going to lie. Scarecrow juice sounds delicious. It also sounds really healthy.
It doesn't sound good
like,
to me.
Like it's it like it wheatgrass. Like, really...
You would drink it and spirulina. It would make your throat dry. Like, it would be like, oh, I'm really thirsty. Oh, no, I just drank butter. I don't know. So there are two. We should talk about these together.
Okay. I mean, there's one that I don't give any shits about whatsoever, and one that I liked.
Part of the same thing.
So let's talk about the one I don't give a shit about, which is...
So Marvel Comics is celebrating 80 years of publishing history with recycling some old titles.
Yeah.
Like War is Hell and Crypt of Shadows. War is Hell is Howard Chaykin and Edgar Delgado. I don't know why. I shouldn't say creator names because most of the time we don't say the creator names, and then like sometimes I do, and then it seems like I'm like... I don't know. Anyway, it's a war comic. And then there's a horror comic, Crypt of Shadows.
Yes, Crypt of Shadows. It's great. It's Al Ewing wrote it.
Oh, Al Ewing is good. He writes the comic that we're going to talk about next.
Yes, and it's just a very straightforward Tales from the Crypt, you know, one of those pre-Cody type.
Yeah. It's a horror book with two stories.
There's a thing that you're scared of. Let's talk about it. And then, oh, no, the thing's going to do something ironic. Dun, dun, dun. And it's great. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. I love it. Whatever.
Yeah, it was fun. If
you wanted a horror comic, that is what this is.
Yes. Speaking of a horror comic that is also a superhero comic, let's talk about the other Al Ewing book out this week, Immortal Hulk number 12. Can't believe there's already 12 issues of this. It's great. One of the only times I've seen an Alex Ross cover of recent memory that I think it's fucking amazing. It's amazing. I love this cover. The Hulk is in hell. And that's basically
I mean, that's
the
really,
most I can really say about
that's
it.
That's pretty much all you
the
need
Hulk
to know about
the Hulk is in hell.
This book.
There's some stuff with like the origins of the Hulk. There's some stuff with the ongoing storyline of the book. There's also this crazy thing that happens at the end. I don't know what that is.
That is a stuffed groom.
Oh, nice. Groom.
One of the monsters from Where Monsters Dwell.
Was there one called Bride as well?
I believe so. I think that's Groom or Grom or whatever Grom. His name was.
Gloom.
I don't know. Either way, someone had a stuffed
It's a Marvel monster.
Where Monsters Dwell monster in it, and it made me really happy.
All right. I'm doing this. Sorry. Sorry, sound effects. This is
no,
the,
we
this
love
is
it.
Totally a sound effect.
Well, too bad. I'm going to talk about a book that you don't care so much about that I think is one of the best books going. Friendly, motherfucking Neighborhood Spider-Man. This is what I sign on for when I sign on for a Spider-Man book.
Nice.
They have gone back to somehow exactly what I want out of Spider-Man. It's
because Tom Taylor wrote it. Tom Taylor is awesome. And I will never say a negative thing, even though this is one of those things where it's like, it's not a book I'm wild about. It's Tom Taylor wrote it. And so I think you should buy it.
I love the artwork in this. This is my Spider-Man. When I see this version of Spidey, I'm like all on board for the look. I'm all on board for the story arc. It's just surprising, fun. He's the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. It's less drama, more superhero stuff, and more like fun interactions with, you know, Human Torch and
there's some really good Human
crazy
Torch
alien kids, and like, it's fun and awesome. I don't know. It reminds me of everything I loved about Spider-Man. And so I'm super into it.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me in any way that Tom Taylor is. I'm so into Miles now that like I don't care about a Peter Parker book.
But that's what's so fucked up about this is that this reminds me more of a Miles book with Peter Parker in it, where it's also like it's more carefree than anything else. Like Miles even now has more drama than this one. This is like practically drama free.
I want. Like not necessarily like a straight adaptation of Spider-Verse, but like I just want a comic, a Spider-Man comic with the sensibility of the Spider-Verse movie. I loved that movie so much. that anything that isn't as good as that is going to be not my thing. But speaking of movie things that have become comics, and that I, let's talk about Shuri number 4. I think this series is awesome. Like you were saying, this is my art style. This is my, like, this is like the Hernandez brothers did a superhero comic to me, like art style wise. But then the story itself is just Shuri being super fucking awesome. And yeah. I really like, I swore a lot in this comic or in this podcast.
Me too. But, whatever.
However, Shuri number 4 is out. If you're not following it now, wait till the trade comes out and buy it. It's very entertaining.
She was Groot for a while.
She was. It's true. It happened. Let's talk about Justice League because okay. It came out.
Justice League came out.
Yeah.
There we go. Blossom 666.
Did you read this?
I did.
Oh, man.
So,
why does every Archie comic have to have Satan in it now?
Further like, on down the road, this of is like, Archie turning into a Satanist comic.
Yeah,
this
is, this is it a cult? I mean, do the people who publish Archie are they Satanists? They
yes,
have to
they
be.
Are now.
No, I honest question. Like, I am honestly asking if the people who run Archie comics are members of the Church of Satan.
God, I hope so.
I kind of do too, because
especially since what was it, Citadel, the Christian publisher that owned them for
five years.
So they're just like they're going to take 5 years, and these will be the Satan books.
I think
we had the years of the Christian books. Now we'll have this.
Yeah, I don't think they even had years though. I think there were only like 6 of those Christian books.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it was years. I think it was just like they licensed it to a Christian publisher and they made like a certain amount of books.
I know that they had those terrible ones, like the girl who loved the swastika.
Ooh, Hansi. Like,
Hansi, the girl who loved the swastika.
That's that one of those things that's just
nuts.
Yeah, I've never read it.
Have a copy at the store.
I'll
let you read it. It's nuts. I couldn't bring myself to sell it. I was just like, this is insano.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I don't really understand the deal with Hansi. When did it come out? I know it exists.
80s, I think. I think early 80s, maybe.
Who published it? When? Where was it published?
Archie, Citadel.
Really?
Yeah, that company. That was like the Gospel Blimp and like all those other terrible comics. That's where Hansi came from. Yeah. I think it's Citadel.
Nuts.
I think that's the name of the company.
I thought that was much older than that.
No.
But I guess it doesn't really make sense that it would be. It's definitely not a World War II era.
No, it's a Christian book. It's about, it's basically like...
And it's published in America, though.
Hansi is like, boy, being a Nazi is great. And then she finds like some American soldiers or some English soldiers who have a Bible that they tear up into pieces and they each keep a piece on them or... I'm going to butcher this story, but it's as crazy as what I'm saying.
That's
and she
insane.
Decides that being a Nazi is bad because of that. And then she turns to Christianity and then something else crazy happens.
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Cuckoo
so
bananas.
It's not like celebrating the fact that she loved the swastika.
Oh God, no.
It's like celebrating
no.
the fact that she rejected the swastika.
No, it's,
but at one point she did love it.
Yeah. It's very,
okay.
It's deceptively, the reason that it's so collectible is because people are like, this is insane. But then when you actually read it, it's insane for a whole different reason.
Set. Okay. I actually
like,
do really want to read
it. It's even crazier than what it would sound like just being like, pro-Nazi something or other. It's right. Way crazier than that.
So back to Blossoms 666. I spent some time with this because it was written by Cullen Bunn.
Yeah.
Who I love. And there's some artists. This
I believe
is
it.
Very, very, very much. And I don't know if it was... if the artists just kind of were allowed to do it, it's like Riverdale.
Yeah.
Like if you watch Riverdale, the characters look just like Riverdale in it. But it is the premise is that the Blossoms are their twins, a girl, Cheryl, I guess, is Cheryl Blossom from Archie. And then she has a brother, Johnny Blossom. I don't know.
Yeah, if this doesn't turn into a Flowers in the Attic Game of Thrones thing, it's going to surprise me.
They're raised by Satanists,
yep.
And one of them is to become the Antichrist. But they don't know which, and they're fighting to become the one that is the Antichrist.
So typical.
They do mean things to Reggie. And
and we're all sad about that.
I really, honestly, whoever is in charge of Archie... They're Satanists. They have to be. They can't not be. It has to be.
Okay. I'm gonna put fan fictioning this. I'm gonna put forward my own personal theory. A bunch of bankers purchased Archie.
Satanist bankers?
Well, I mean, I think that probably goes without saying. Okay. And so they said, okay, cool, what the fuck do we do? Nobody likes Archie. how about we kill him? And then they released that,
issue where he gets shot in the head. Yes.
And then people were like, wow, I care about this all of a sudden because somebody shot Archie in the face because I don't like Archie, so I like watching him get shot in the face. And they were like, what if everybody died and we did like a zombie thing? Kill everybody off. People were really excited about killing them. They're like, okay, what if werewolves? Okay, what if Satan? Okay, what if fucking just everything? And that's the way that it goes. People only like it when he dies.
Yeah, I don't...
People like Archie when he's fucking dead.
If that's the case, I think I want to pitch an Archie series, but I want to go like...
Saw.
In a very different... No, I want to go torture porn. I want to go like El Topo. Like, I just want to go like totally parable, like weird ass, just like... I'm going to tell this like allegory story starring Archie, and it's just going to be like Archie is not one comic. It is all comics. I don't know.
Oh, anyway, boy.
Last but not least, what do we have here? We have the new Boombox series, which is called The Avant Guards, and it is a comic about people who go to art school. And
I read this comic. You sure did.
I sure did. And I think in the same way that people who like the comic that is about people who fence, and the same thing that is like about the people who like comics that are about the soccer and the things of that nature. I mean, it's cool. It's like the art's good.
Backstagers, the like, people who like backstagers or rock stars, there's a lot of these books. They're certainly not for me, but man. No, but we are not the intended audience. We are not the audience for this book, but the people who dig this, again, if you dug Backstagers, if you dug By Night, if you dug, like, there's a bunch of those books, you're probably gonna fucking dig this one.
I think it's in the same thing.
It's well written. It's enchanting to people who are into that kind of world. Just not my bag.
And basketball is in this a lot. I think actually that might even be the thing. It's like it's an art school basketball team. I'm not sure, but based on the cover where they're holding a basketball, I'm going to guess that that's what's going on. Boombox has like a niche. It's like a very like kind of scholastic-y kind of niche. And I think
but it's also
a quality book. And I will say this about all of the Boombox. I love their paper stock.
Me too. And also the other thing is that it's also a much more inclusive kind of thing, like where there's a lot more more open gender fluidity and lots of, you know, it's multicultural and all those sorts of things. And it's and they do tend to be very positive and like just message driven, and they're cool.
I think this is about an art school college that has a basketball team. I really do.
Well,
I did say I read it.
But Reddit would be.
I lied. It is about like clearly this is definitely. I knew it was about an art school, and then they are playing basketball. So that's what it's.
They're
about.
Playing avant guards because
they're guards. They're point guards.
They're playing basketball.
I'm. That's a song.
Curtis Blow.
Oh man.
Anyway,
sorry, I'm not up on my Curtis.
Moon Girl and Devil Moon Dinosaur Girl. Number 39.
There's a guy. Did you see? Did you read this? Did you see the guy, the new character?
Oh, wait, no.
I love the new character. His name is Bad Dream, and he has the best costume
ever. I just thought that was Nightmare.
No, it's like Nightmare's kid or something. I don't know. Check out. You got to see him with the hood up. Keep flipping
until
you see him with
the
hood
up. That's right.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and he has
I know
a
who
pet cloud. He has a pet evil cloud. Moon Girl is great. It's honestly
always.
Like just a great... superhero world book for kids that is like super like Doctor Strange is in this, but like he's on the cover.
Yeah, like dinosaurs
barely in the comic.
this one's
good.
Got a devil dinosaur.
Yeah, I love Moon Girl. I love Devil Dinosaur. I love Moon Girl, and I think it's a great book. 100%.
Oh, 100%. So fun.
I give it 100%. And Bad Dream, the new character, the new villain, is like, I just, the design of this character.
He's great.
I am so jealous that like I did not. Because now.
He's like a Maurice Sendak character.
Yeah.
Like, he reminds me of like good. Max from Where the Wild Things Are.
So this is a new trend in superhero costume design. And I think it was brought about initially by Spider-Gwen.
Yes.
But the new costume design, and Spider-Verse now embraces it fully, is superhero hoodies.
Yes.
And I don't understand it and in terms one, of like battling.
And this one is superhero pajama hoodies.
Yeah,
this
for
is
sure.
Like, this is very much like those character, like the Pikachu like pajama set.
Yep.
It's like the hood comes over and it makes the mouth, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Very cool.
That's great. That's a great book.
It is.
So lots of fun stuff out this week.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff. The like, trade for Dark Knight's Metal is out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
People have been waiting for that for a while. There's a bunch of other great stuff. There's we didn't even talk about
a new Hellboy trade.
We didn't talk about Alien. How did we not talk about the new Alien book? I didn't read it.
The reason is because I didn't read it either.
Jesus, why did I not read that?
I skipped it.
Okay, well, there's a new Alien book and it looks amazing.
Is it a number one?
It is a number one.
Oh, shit. I thought it was like a number three of something and I just
tend to not
read number threes.
It is the brand new series. Whatever. It's great. You're going to buy
it. It's the
because
first
people have
one.
Been...
If you go look at the books, they're in alphabetical order and the first one is Alien.
Yes. Lots of that stuff. There's all sorts of cool stuff. Check out the website.
Some horror mags.
Yes. Scream is out. Creeps is out. New Fangoria we can finally sell, even though it came in a week and a half ago. They're finally letting us actually sell it.
Why wouldn't they let you sell it before?
They fucked up the street date or some dumb shit like that.
Get it together, you know, street team.
You know, Diamond.
Fangoria street team.
Yeah, it's great, especially because like last week, like Midtown or something was doing a signing and they were letting them sell it. Guys,
if one store can sell it,
I'm going to fight you all. But
BS.
But yeah, they sent us an email and said, hold on to it. So we did. But we do have some of those up for we had them up for pre-sale. We now have them up for sale. They're slightly more expensive because we can't get them anymore. So we jacked up the price. Sorry, everybody. But we're down to our last few. So,
but if you went to the website, coastcitycomics.com, and you pre-ordered it, you wouldn't have a problem.
No, it would have been 1950.
Whose fault is it now?
I know, exactly. But you can buy them in store at cover price. We do have, I think, six of them on the shelf at cover price.
Customers.
And we have four of them on the web at, like, I think $5 more or something like that. Yeah, that's the deal. It's just because we have free shipping. And
yeah,
so
I was going to say, don't you do free shipping? Yeah, so $5 more is barely more.
It kind of hoses us a little bit. Just
it's like cover price.
Because they're really heavy. That's the only reason is it's 100 and change pages and it's like thick stock. So when we ship them, it kind of hoses us on
price.
Does
every Fangoria have that many pages?
Yes, that's the new thing. So when they rebooted, they started doing these like...
Fangoria rebooted?
Yeah, they like new ownership, all this like brand new, like everybody who's writing for it. Grady Hendrix writes for it now, which is awesome, who's one of my favorite authors. They do 100 pages and they're doing them quarterly. So for a year,
like super glossy paper. Is
it
that
is.
Why
it's on.
So
it's on gorgeous paper. It's like just they're awesome.
Nice.
It's been really cool. So I've been
now
digging
I
that.
Regret checking not checking it out.
And Scream also out. The British horror mag also really good. Doesn't fit in anything because they make it 2 inches taller than
British.
Every other fucking magazine on the stands.
Thanks,
but
Britain.
still a great magazine. And all sorts of other stuff. You'll see all the new stuff if you go to coastcitycomics.com. All of the comics are up. Blarg, free shipping code. It's at the top of the website. So just enter that. You'll get free shipping on your comics. We ship everything bagged and boarded. We add a couple of extra little things. We throw in stickers and pins and stuff with your order.
What?
And so, yeah, do that.
Why do I come to the store? I'm
you shouldn't.
Getting shipped.
Yeah, it's
free
actually,
shipping to
it's
my house
so
two
much,
blocks from the store.
So much more convenient. We have people who are like 10 miles away that get stuff shipped.
Nice.
You know what?
I mean, 10 miles.
It's fine by me. It's a good point. I wouldn't want to drive it. Anyway.
I mean, I can walk.
Exactly. But I super appreciate
if I don't
everybody.
Give free pins and stickers.
Well, I'll give you one.
I mean, you give me free shit all the time.
So, but that said, check everything out. We really do appreciate everybody that comes into the store. It's awesome.
Ooh, yeah, because there's lots of cool pinball games.
Yes, we also have lots of cool pinball. And they'll all be fixed tomorrow. Jake's coming to repair the four machines that are down right now.
What?
Yeah,
Stop
know.
Stop being so rough on the pinball games, guys.
I don't know what happened.
It's because people are like, I'm going to shake it to get the ball to not go down the hole. Dumbass.
Just
let it go down the hole. Spend an extra 75 cents and then the game never breaks.
It's just because pinballs are like... Yeah. A half-pound ball being slammed into pieces of plastic over and over again.
Yeah.
They tend to fall apart a little bit, but we got it under control. We've got the best repair guy in the business. Anyway, thank you all. I'm actually comics on Instagram.
I swear I'm going to post this week. I took so many pictures; they're going to be good.
Yeah, so
good
do posts. That. And Funbox Monster Podcast. We're going to be doing something tomorrow. Can't remember what it is. Ooh, pin. It's about a ventriloquist dummy.
What?
It's upsetting. It's a human respiration dummy that is used as a ventriloquist dummy.
Gross.
It's going to be great.
That sounds really horrifying. How old is this movie?
Early 80s. Or no, 89, I think.
So it's like Resusa Annie.
It's like Resusa
Annie.
Like
the horror movie. Damn. Yeah. I'll listen to that.
That's going to be fun. All right. We'll see you later. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.